In Vancouver, I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Ezra Levant is a lightning rod in this country. He's regarded as the, quote, number one defender of freedom of speech, as well as one critic of his newest book, quote, A Master of Logical Fallacy and Half-Truth. The new book is called Ethical Oil, The Case for Canada's Oil Sands. It's a provocative book on a subject that needs necessary debate. He looks at our hypocrisy when it comes to our oil consumption, where we purchase it, and who benefits from it, despotic regimes, human rights violators, not to mention countries where environmental conditions after oil extraction are less than desirable. Mr. Levant suggests that since we can't shake off our addiction to oil, why not use our oil sands, even though Greenpeace and their ilk think otherwise. Ezra Levant is a lawyer, journalist, and political activist. He was last on for his book, Shakedown, how our government is undermining democracy in the name of human rights, which was a bestseller. This book, Ethical Oil, is published by McClelland & Stewart. His website is EzraLevant.com. His is an inimitable voice in the discourse of this country. Please welcome back to the Planta on the Line program, Ezra Levant. Good morning, Mr. Levant.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. How did you come to write about the oil sands?
Well, it's funny. I was actually on tour for my last book, Shakedown, at an Ottawa Writers Festival, and they said, hey, you're from Alberta. There's someone talking about Alberta and the oil sands, go join them and make the panel. So I was sort of thrown in at the last minute. I didn't do any preparation, really. But what I heard was fascinating to me. It was all these folks in Ontario who were sort of beating up on the oil sands, but they seemed to be oblivious to the fact that they're the ones that the oil sands, you know, they're the consumers of energy. They didn't sound very realistic to me, both about their own energy use and making the connection to the oil production. And they certainly weren't thinking about what would happen if they shut down the oil sands, where they get the oil from. It just seemed like they were having a debate that was unmoored from reality. So I was on this panel, and I was making notes and debating. And when I was done the debate, I looked at my notes, and I thought, you know what? There's a table of contents for a book here. So that's where it came from. It was the first time I'd really engaged in a debate about the oil sands, and I found that the criticisms didn't seem serious. They didn't seem well thought through. They weren't malicious. They weren't angry. They just, you know, they didn't ask the basic question, which is, if you're not buying your oil from the oil sands, where are you buying it from? Because that's the only practical question. If you are not filling up your car with gas from here, the gas is coming from somewhere else. And, you know, in Canada, we produce a lot of oil. We're a net exporter. But in the United States, until about 5-6 years ago, their number one source of oil was Saudi Arabia. We have pushed the Saudis out of top spot. We're now the number one source of oil for America. And so those who say shut down the oil sands, I ask a very simple question. Are you saying Saudi oil is better? Or if not Saudi Arabia, Iran or Venezuela or Nigeria or Sudan? Because those are your choices. If you look at the top 10 countries ranked by oil reserves, they're all dictatorships, other than Iraq, which is sort of a wobbly democracy. We're the only good guys on the top 10 list. Canada is on that top 10 list. The rest are OPEC dictatorships like Saudi Arabia, where 15 out of the 19 terrorists on 9/11 came from, where women aren't even allowed to drive a car, let alone vote, or Iran sponsors terrorism, building a nuclear bomb, or Nigeria, which is basically a toxic waste zone where dictatorships have embezzled most of the oil wealth over the last 50 years, or Venezuela, run by a strong man who's busting unions, shutting down opposition newspapers, threatening his neighbors, and crushing aboriginals. So it's a really, really bad set of alternatives out there. And on the other hand, if we look at the oil sands, they're actually getting better all the time in terms of our environmental footprint. So this was my way of saying, hey guys, you can be a critic of the oil sands, sure, but before you go shutting them down, make sure you have a better ethical alternative. And there isn't one.
So your critics, the people who are arguing against you, they're saying that where we are in terms of extracting the oil, environmentally, we're not there yet. Is that right?
Well, listen, we can always improve. Every human industrial activity has some environmental side effects. Any mine, any city has exhaust. We should always be improving that, and the oil sands are. For example, in 1990 to today, over that 20-year period, the oil sands have reduced the amount of energy and carbon dioxide needed to make any one barrel of oil by 38%. We're 38% more environmental today, 38% cleaner, 38% less carbon. I can hardly wait to see how much better we're going to be 20 years from now. Constant improvements, constantly self-criticizing and self-improving. Absolutely. But we should also realize that we're miles ahead of the other guys. For example, we have to reclaim all our open-pit mines here in Canada, in the oil sands. They don't even do that in Ontario and Quebec for their mines. So, I mean, some people say, well, what about green energy solutions? What about solar or wind power or some future technology that hasn't been invented yet? But that's the point. They haven't been invented yet. Everyone who drives a car has to fill it up with gas this week. We can't wait 25 or 50 years for some new technology. And the Americans have to fill up their cars. And China, which now has more cars than America, and India, and Brazil. I mean, the third world is growing up, and they want to drive cars too. And until that new miracle fuel is invented, they're going to be buying oil. So what I'm saying to people is, it's not a choice between oil sands or utopia. It's between oil sands or the Saudis. And I think the moral thing to do, the ethical thing to do, is to produce as much of our Canadian fair trade oil as possible to take market share away from the dictatorships. Every barrel we pump is one barrel less from Saudi terrorists or Iranian nuclear warmongers.
Now, why is it that the people that your critics, why do they refuse to look at this moral argument that you're putting forward?
Well, I think the main reason is no one has asked them. For example, when those U.S. companies, Bed Bath & Beyond, and The Gap, and Whole Foods, and Walgreens, when they all say, we want to wean ourselves off of oil sands oil, we want to even boycott oil sands oil. Okay, that sounds pretty good, sounds pretty ethical. But no one has asked the simple question, and then what? Hey guys, where are you going to get it from instead? Like, no one's just even asked the question. It's not like I've come up with a radical new idea here. I'm just asking a very common sense question that came to me when I was on this oil panel last year, which is, then what? And I went around the world with my and then what test, and I used four liberal yardsticks to measure the ethics of oil. And I chose liberal arguments because, you know, I think most of the oil sands critics would probably call themselves progressives. So I'm trying to appeal to them. Here are my four yardsticks. Number one, environment. I'd already talked about how we're getting cleaner all the time.
Right.
Number two is peace. I mean, does your oil increase the peace? Or are you supporting some terrorist country? I mean, for crying out loud, we're the guys who invented peacekeeping. My third test is what I call economic justice or fair wages for the working man. In the oil sands in Canada, a guy driving a truck can make up to $100,000 a year. The guys doing the hard work in Saudi Arabia or Nigeria are grossly underpaid, they're often abused, and the money is stolen by the dictatorships at the top. My final test is respect for minorities, women, gays, aboriginals. And again, you know, the mayor of Fort McMurray is a young woman, Melissa Blake. There are no women mayors in Saudi Arabia because it's against the law. You know, how does Darfur treat its, how does Sudan treat its minority in Darfur? They kill them. They killed 300,000 people in Darfur. And they're becoming a major oil exporter. I would rather buy Canadian oil that I know is ethical, I know is fair trade, I know is blood-free, rather than Sudanese oil, which is bloody. I don't want to buy conflict oil. And I think if we could get our American friends to have country of origin labeling on their gas pumps, you know, one pump would say made in Saudi Arabia, one pump would say made in Canada, I know they would pick the Canadian oil every time. In fact, they might even pay a few cents a gallon more for it because, you know, just like we do for fair trade coffee, we could have oil that's certified 100% dictatorship free. You know, I mean, seriously, it's not something we have to be shy about. We can be proud of our oil sands because if those Americans are buying gas anyways from somewhere, don't you think we should give them the choice of having their oil come from a liberal democracy?
Was it fun being a liberal writing this book?
It's the most fun I've had. I had no idea it was this much fun being a liberal.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because those basic liberal values are something that every Canadian takes for granted. Whether you consider yourself a Tory or a Grit or a New Democrat, we all sort of have a common understanding of life. We believe that men and women are equal. We believe in solving problems peacefully, not through violence. We believe in you know, cleaning up messes after ourselves. I mean, those are not the property of any party. But it's like Greenpeace forgot what it used to stand for. I mean, 35 years ago, Greenpeace really cared about human rights. Now, you know, they're more focused on raising funds. They're a multinational company with, you know, over $200 million a year in revenues. They need to raise a lot of dough every day. And so it's a lot easier for them to take a run at the oil sands instead of, you know, and they break into refineries in Canada and no one cuts their head off. Try doing that in Saudi Arabia or Iran. They'd get killed. So, unfortunately, the people who were supposed to be standing on guard for women's rights and gay rights and human rights and workers' rights and environmental rights, they lost their way. So I'm sort of filling in. Until the liberals come back and take those positions, I'll make those arguments for them. It's sort of fun.
Now, I don't know where you are, Ezra, on climate change, but let's just take the sort of common view that the idea here is to reduce our oil consumption. Won't using the oil sands, won't that increase our dependence on oil, and we won't look for alternative sources of energy?
Like I say, if we shut down the oil sands, all that will happen is the Saudi ambassador will be on the phone the next day to all our customers saying, hey, don't you worry, we can just ramp up production. You won't miss a beat. So it's not as if shutting down the oil sands will stop the world's oil economy. In fact, it's predicted that soon, you know, with the growth of China and India, they all want to become two-car families or even one-car families. The daily demand for oil is probably going to increase by 10 million barrels a day. So, you know, we're kidding ourselves if we think that the oil sands, shutting it down would stop world use of oil. My argument is simply that we'd be replacing unethical oil with more ethical oil. Now, I think we should totally be researching this fantasy fuel of the future that will save us from any environmental side effects. Awesome, great idea. But in the 5, 10, 50, 100 years until then, we've got to live in the real world. Luckily, we've got 300 years worth of oil in the oil sands, 175 billion barrels, more than anywhere other than Saudi Arabia. So we can wait until we discover it. I hope the discovery comes tomorrow, by the way. I hope we find some perfect side-effect-free energy source that's cheap and affordable and will lift all of humanity up, but we don't have it yet, so we've got to live in the real world. I think we should always be on the lookout for better ideas, and until that perfect fuel comes along, let's improve how we handle oil. Let's get cleaner all the time. Let's reduce our carbon footprint all the time. You mentioned global warming. I'll tell you candidly, I'm a skeptic of the theory, but I don't make that argument in the book. I take global warming warriors at face value. I say, if you're really worried about carbon dioxide and global warming, then you should prefer oil sands oil to oil from Saudi Arabia. From Venezuela. Because Venezuelan oil is very heavy oil and has a higher carbon footprint than oil sands oil. California oil. It's called California heavy for a reason. Because it has a heavier carbon footprint than oil sands oil. Nigeria and Iraq, they flare their natural gas. That's an enormous emission of carbon dioxide. So actually, Canadian ethical oil from the oil sands has the same or better carbon footprint than oil from Nigeria, Iraq, Venezuela, California, and even Gulf of Mexico. So if you care about global warming, you should prefer our oil to many of the other choices out there.
Ezra, you're known for your ties to the federal government and Mr. Harper. Are the views in this book, granted your own, are they shared by people in his government?
I don't know. I haven't had any feedback from them yet. I didn't consult them on this book at all. I think they were sort of surprised I was running it because they always knew me as the guy bugging them about human rights commissions.
Yeah.
I don't think they knew I was. I certainly didn't consult them, and I think they're probably just hearing about the book now. I hope they take this and run with it, because it's a great way to stand up for Canada in the world, to live up to our reputation as the good guys in international affairs. I mean, seriously, if we can replace conflict oil with ethical oil, I think that's Canada doing the world a favor. And I think if you believe in reducing terrorism and reducing human rights violations and reducing toxic masses like Nigeria, then you should probably agree with me that the more oil we sell is the less that comes from those bad places, plus all the money that it takes away from the Saudi royal family and the Iranian bullies and gives to us to spend on everything from hospitals to schools to fair wages. I think it's really a win-win-win.
Now, your critics have said that you've taken money from oil producers, that you're tied to people who've taken money from oil producers, and that's why you've written this book. How do you respond to that?
Well, that's just simply not true. I was paid by McClellan and Stewart, which is a literary publisher out of Toronto, the same publisher that Margaret Atwood has. Yeah. I've received no funds from anyone else. I don't work for an oil company. I don't consult. I have no commissions. I have no stocks in oil companies. No one in my family does. The closest I get to the oil industry is using the self-serve pump. I didn't even call oil companies to do my research. Frankly, they're not much good at making the ethical oil arguments. As you can see from my book, I did the research myself. I dug up sources, often from liberal sources, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, the United Nations. So I think people would like to write me off as an oil patch shill, but I've actually never worked for an oil company in my life. Whereas some of my critics, on the other hand, do get their money from lobby groups like Greenpeace. I mean, Andrew Nikiforuk, who's a great journalist, and he wrote the book called Tar Sands, he acknowledged, and I quote him in my book, that he takes cash from Greenpeace. I think that puts him in a bit of a conflict. I mean, if an oil company paid me to write this book, you'd probably take it with a grain of salt. The good news is a literary publisher named McClellan and Stewart paid me, and I think the book is quite independent.
Now, were you surprised, you were on for the last book, were you surprised at the reaction to that?
I was really pleased that people on the left and the right, Tories, liberals, and even some Bloc MPs, supported the message of free speech. Because again, that's one of the things we all take for granted, we all agree on. It's sort of a basic common ground in Canada is freedom of speech. And I think the book showed that human rights commissions are out of sync with Canadian values and un-Canadian, really. I was very pleased by that. And I do something a little bit similar here is I reach out to liberals and I say, look, I'm not disputing your values. I'm not telling you your values don't matter. The opposite. I'm counting on your values. I'm counting on liberals to live up to their slogans about treatment of minorities and fair wages and peace. And, you know, could a liberal in good conscience prefer a barrel of oil from Sudan and Darfur to a barrel of oil from Canada? I just don't think a liberal in good conscience could do that. And I'm just going to say again, of course we should always improve how we do our business, of course. But, you know, there's such an enormous gap between our failures and our problems in Canada and the problems in places like Sudan and Iran. We're just so many miles ahead. I think a true liberal, if he had two gas pumps in front of him, one said made in Saudi Arabia, one said made in Canada, he would choose the Canadian choice every time.
You know, I've been following you on Twitter, and I've enjoyed this debate that you've been having over Sun TV and the back and forth you've had with people like Margaret Atwood. Do you ever lose an argument, Ezra?
Oh, I'm sure I lose arguments all the time, but really that's in the eye of the beholder, right? I mean, yeah. if there's 10 people watching an argument, some might think I win it, some might think I lose it. So it's really not up to me to determine if I win or lose an argument. That's up to the people I'm trying to convince. I don't always convince people. I do my best to have convincing arguments. Sometimes I just like arguing for the fun of it. I mean, that's, in a way, that's a hobby of mine is political arguing, and some people find it quite irritating, I confess, but other people enjoy the discussion. I mean, talking politics is a bit of a Canadian pastime, and I think everyone's got a point of view on the oil sands. I'm just trying to give them a new way to look at it. I'm not saying the oil sands perfect. That's so unrealistic to take that point of view. It's just not true. I'm trying to get people to think, okay, what's the alternative? And are we doing the best we can? And is there a better choice? I think the arguments I put forward are good for people to chew over. And I feel like I am having some success with true liberals who are open-minded. They just haven't thought about these other criteria on how to measure ethics.
Finally, Ezra, what's next for you?
Well, you know, I'm having fun promoting this book. I just started a week ago, and I can imagine I'll be on tour for a bit. I've just started a new relationship with Sun Media. I write for all their tabloids across the country, and who knows what might come on the heels of that. So I'm keeping busy. Of course, I'm a dad with two little ones at home, so that's actually my full-time job. So right now I'm just enjoying, you know, having my public life, debating and these ideas, and, you know, being a family man, too.
This is an important book, and I've enjoyed the conversation today. Continue good luck with it, Ezra.
Well, thanks very much for having me, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Will do. The website for more is EzraLevant.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ezra Levant. That's one word. The book is called Ethical Oil, The Case for Canada's Oil Sands. It's published by McClelland and Stewart. Ezra Levant on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Flunter.